This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Is that Mom? I can hear Mom through the wall, huh?
Me too, yeah. Welcome to my life recording bands and orchestras.
Okay, so I'll say, you know him as a tiny little worm man who slept in my parents' bed till he was 12.
What? You know him as a thumb-sucking little bitch. Yeah, that's good.
You shouldn't have agreed to do this.
Yeah, that's true.
Hello! Welcome to episode 100! Marissa, put something cool in there. 100! I'm sorry, I'm actually screaming. I'm just so excited. I didn't think I'd ever make it to episode 50, much less episode 100, much less by myself. Can we just take a moment and shower me with compliments? Marissa, feel free to add some compliments here.
Miel is nice, funny, and has really good taste in Nintendo 64 memes.
Listen, this is going to be a kooky episode. Don't start with this one. Start somewhere else, and then when you're ready, come back to this one, because, oh my God, the guest on today's episode. I've been trying to get him to do something with me, anything, much less this podcast, for 30 years. Wait, how old are you? 27 years. Let's introduce you, yeah? What song should we do?
I don't talk until I'm introduced, so.
You can talk now.
No.
Okay.
Stop. Fucking idiot.
This is his song. You know him.
So depressing.
Okay, find your eye. I'll do a different one.
It feels like what we'll play at my funeral.
Is this better? See, unfortunately, you make depressing music,
I don't know what
Henry.
This is.
You don't know your own song?
What song is this?
This is In the Roses.
Oh, ew. Get rid of this.
Okay. You want this one?
Yeah, stop.
Which one of your songs should I use to introduce you?
Play Lil Jon or something.
This one?
Yeah, okay.
You know him as a musician under the pseudonym Henry Bardot. You know him from his duo, Parallo, with Marie Shaw. And you know him most notably as a little worm boy. It's my brother, Henry Bardot. He's Henry Bredo. Sorry.
I don't get the coming out, blah, blah, blah song.
No, we changed that. Oh. You haven't listened to my podcast.
No, I do.
You don't listen to my podcast.
No, I do. Sometimes I like that one.
Mm-hmm. Do you want that one?
Mm-hmm.
Woo! Bring them out. I don't have the sound clip. Debbie had that.
All right. Well, you know what? We're good. People know who I am. I'm her brother.
You've been a legend on this podcast since episode one. Mm. How many punch-ups have we done together?
That's an overstatement, but...
Well, episode five. Okay. When was the first one you helped me with? Nookie?
I think we did Nookie together, yeah. Don't, I shouldn't have said that. I heard it when I said it. Yeah, we made the Limp Bizkit song together.
Mm-hmm. We've made a bunch together.
Yeah.
I don't remember all of them anymore. Oh, no. Yeah, Come On, Eileen. We made that really depressing. And then I've paid you to mix probably how many? 50? Pretty much any punch-up I've done that is like a complicated arrangement, I'm like, hey, Henry, can I just Venmo you and you mix this? And then he'll like literally drop everything to make it happen for me.
Well, you, yeah.
So this podcast is in a way your podcast.
You get pretty ambitious.
Dude, it's just, how do you sing Misery Business and not need like some complicated vocal mixing?
Yeah, and well, and the Italian one you did is pretty.
Oh my God, Gloria.
Heavy duty.
Listen, if there's one episode to just go off the rails talking about the work that goes behind the scenes in this podcast, it's this one.
Yeah.
It's a lot. Recording these punch-ups, especially every week by myself.
I mean, you sent me like just like 20 vocal tracks of you speaking Italian. So that's pretty confusing for me.
Thank you so much, Henry, for coming on. You're like... would you say you're like a podcast guy?
Quite the opposite. As any listener can tell, I'm very uncomfortable.
No one can tell. You're doing great. Marika, can you tell he's uncomfortable? No, she said no.
She said yeah. she said no. She nodded and did a thumbs up.
Okay, well, we had a different plan for today's episode. We were going to talk about Every Morning by Sugar Ray. Because it's, I mean, arguably the best song of all time.
I think so.
Yeah. Maybe not arguably.
No.
The best song.
Whoever's arguing that, that's their problem, you know?
It's Mark McGrath's enemies.
Yeah.
It's that guy Mark McGrath broke up with via cameo. Which if you haven't seen, please watch this video of Mark McGrath breaking up with someone
via cameo. If you're going to do a thesis, you got a great lot in life, man. You're going to do great.
That is a quote from the video of Mark McGrath breaking up with someone's boyfriend because they paid him to. But then when we were really thinking about it, we were like, okay, this episode is 100. We got to do something that speaks to us a little bit more. And that is, of course, Chop Suey by System of a Down.
I love this look.
You have to tell everyone at home. Obviously, I know I witnessed it. How your relationship came to be with this song.
Well, I was a little, like, I haven't heard this song in probably 15 or 20 years.
Oh my God, I love this.
I was a kid. I was a little kid when this came out, 2002 or something.
Yeah, 2001.
2001. So yeah, I was only 9 years old.
Yep.
Which was like, this spoke to me the most at 9 years old, which is the weirdest part.
Have you ever listened to the words?
Oh God, no.
Okay.
I mean,
that might be a little sinister
at
now.
At 9 years old, I was learning how to play drums. And so whenever I heard this song, I'd be like, that's the song I got to learn first, which is a pretty bizarre song on drums. And so
also like a tiny little 9-year-old boy absolutely shredding the drums to System of a Down.
I mean, that was my favorite thing.
And you were, was it
like, what aggression did I have? Like dad used to beat me at like horse around the world. Like, and I would be like, fuck you, man. I need to go fucking jam out to System of a Down.
The angst of like a very pleasant childhood.
Yeah, like just a suburban life.
It was almost like listening to the song was you cosplaying as if you had a shitty life.
Yeah. Same with Limp Bizkit. Unfortunately. Both produced by Rick Rubin.
Great segue, Henry. But like, you have to mention also the imagery of you slamming the drums as hard as you can as a tiny little boy.
Well, I also like Metallica. Also, I think I was just like a Rick Rubin fan because I also was into Metallica. And I asked for Christmas for like the metal drumsticks that were made out of black titanium.
Wait, those exist?
They're so bad.
Why would anyone ever need to use metal sticks? That seems crazy to me.
If you hate good tone,
yeah,
and you hate your literal drums, because both of which, it's brutal.
Couldn't you like tear a hole?
Oh yeah,
like
plenty.
A tight snare, just pow.
I mean, you can destroy your rims. The sound is horrible.
Did you get them?
Yeah, I got them for Christmas. Dad still has a Christmas letter that was like, dear Santa, I want the Lars Ulrich black titanium drums.
Where did this anger come from?
I don't know.
You were such a sweet little boy.
I was a cherub. I was festively plump for the listeners at home.
He was, and as was I. We bonded over that young.
Yeah.
I think that it's also worth noting that dad got me, and I don't know why he got me this. I definitely did not love Metallica, but he got me my first electric guitar.
Oh, yeah.
Which was matte black.
Washburn.
Yeah, with like a white, some kind of tribal spider adjacent image on it.
That's right.
And then like a horned head.
I just donated that to the exchange last time I was on Orcas.
Oh God, thank you.
I was like, why is this still here?
From the moment I received it, I was like, so that's not for me.
Yeah.
I appreciate the sentiment so much, but I feel so scary when I touch it.
He didn't know your brand yet.
I don't know my brand. What's my brand?
Not that.
No. So a couple factoids about this song. And by a couple, I mean many, because holy shit, this history is rich. It's the first single from the album Toxicity that was a number one album.
Yeah, that was huge.
No, on like the main charts.
Yeah, it was 2001, dude. That was
not only was it 2001, it was the week before 9/11.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, brother.
Oh, my God.
Well, I have more on that in a second. It earned a Grammy nomination for Best Metal Performance. It did lose to Tool. Which I feel like is kind of unfair considering this song still has like a fairly large legacy.
Yeah.
20 years later.
For sure.
I don't know that Tool song, but that's also just my personal style.
Those Tool heads are going to come at you.
As you mentioned, it is produced by Rick Rubin and then Darren, I can't say his last name, Malakian, who's like the, if you've seen the music video, like the very, very scary looking one.
With all the tattoos.
Or is it just drawings? I don't know.
Good question.
Very, very scary. And then Serge, the lead singer.
Yeah.
And then the lyrics were by Serge, except where noted. And then all the music was written by Darren. So it was kind of like a synergy, really. Which, by the way, is a great little hint of maybe an announcement we might be making later in this episode. But I guess you got to stay tuned to find out. I wanted to mention briefly how Wikipedia tried to categorize this into genres. Are you ready?
Oh, God.
I'll just name them. Alternative metal. Thrash metal. Art metal. Hard rock, progressive metal, heavy metal, and nu metal. It's all of them.
It's a lot of metal.
It goes on to say it features elements of folk music, progressive rock, Middle Eastern music, Greek music, and jazz.
I mean, they are really eclectic. That's kind of true.
Yeah, Malakian. Oh, I'm saying his last name
wrong. Way more melodic than most like metal shit like this. But it's not even really, they were always so weird like that. Like, that's why I connected
an anomaly.
To it. Yeah, like, because it was actually really pretty. The melodies were beautiful.
Okay, want to know partially why? Malakian, again, maybe tattooed or not tattooed guy, yeah. The bassist.
Why do you think he was drawn on?
I don't know. I just can't believe someone has that many tattoos, I guess.
I'm pretty sure they're just tattoos.
They're tattoos.
But maybe not.
I was looking at him going, that can't be real. Okay. But that's probably wrong.
It was henna.
I don't know. Or like just Sharpie. Mm-hmm. He has cited the Beatles as an influence on this album. Mm. And if you listen, there's sitar on the album. Mm-hmm. And banjo.
Yeah, no, it's everything. They really throw it all at the wall.
Genuinely, like, the most eclectic record.
Yeah.
And the fact that it was so successful, and I mean, maybe it's not everyone's cup of tea, but I think, like, still kind of holds up. Like, there's nothing that sounds like this.
Nothing.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, there's still, like, whenever I listen, I'm like, this is really creative.
And like, now it's like a perfect time capsule of this era because it's so exactly, everyone knows where they were when they heard it.
I don't think people would even know what to do with this if it came out now. You'd just be like,
maybe like TikTok would have a good meme with it.
Yeah, maybe.
Because like it changes sections so many times.
Yeah, it could be like the new Baby Yoda.
Oh my God. We can't keep talking about Baby Yoda, but also we can never stop talking about Baby Yoda.
Also, when this comes out, Baby Yoda will probably be like thing of the past.
Baby Yoda will never die.
You think?
No. I think Baby Yoda is going to just be the meme that we all revisit when we need a little pick-me-up.
The meme that lives on.
Yeah. Like Yoda himself, really.
Yeah.
About the history of the song, it was originally titled Self-Righteous Suicide.
He says that.
That's in the chorus.
Yeah.
That was originally the title.
That's not a good name.
Right. So Columbia was like, absolutely the fuck not.
Oh, Columbia released this?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I mean, Rick Rubin produced it.
Yeah. But I mean, he's produced it for, yeah.
So they were like, yeah, we cannot have a song called Self-Righteous Suicide. So then they took the wordplay to Self-Right Chop Suicide.
Nope. That's a stretch. Jeez Louise.
Self-right chop suicide. Yeah. I don't know if I believe that.
Oh, so self-right chop. So that's how it got the name Chop Suey?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Chop Suey. Chop suey. Chop Suey.
We're really reaching, but I guess I get it.
People are crashing their cars.
They're like, this is not true.
Chop Suey, Chop Suey. The band members claim the change was not caused by pressure from the record company.
That's a lie.
It feels like Columbia was like, hey, we don't want this blood on our hands.
Yeah.
And they were like, all right, yeah, we don't want to lose our deal.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Remarkably, certain pressings of the album include intro to the track where the comment, we're rolling suicide, can still be heard faintly before the guitar starts. Of course, I have that version. We can listen to that clip.
That's the version I used to have. Suicide. Yeah, that's the version I have.
I think that's like the main version. Right?
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. So I never knew what that meant.
So I think it's like we're tracking the song
Suicide. Yeah,
the
song Suicide. That's cool.
Also, just the idea that like in 2001, you could be like, suicide! And people would be like, yeah, brother! Like,
I know.
We've come so far in terms of like what it takes to be edgy.
Yeah, I talked to Netflix about it.
I was just playing that Enrique Iglesias song that I honestly, for a minute, was convinced I dreamt in a fever dream and then found it on Spotify. I was like, no, Enrique Iglesias really did release a song called Tonight I'm Fucking You.
I remember that
Excuse
song.
Me, I don't mean to be rude, but tonight I'm fucking you. You.
Yeah.
Oh, you know.
Yeah, that song is pretty aggressive.
But back in the day, it was like, we said the word suicide. We're in trouble.
Yeah.
Like Jumper, Third Eye Blind.
Oh, man. Yeah, suicide anthem.
perhaps. Actually, that's a great segue into the next point. Okay, like I said, this album came out right before 9/11. Mm-hmm. And so because they said, I don't think you trust in my self-righteous suicide, Clear Channel Radio, which is, if you don't know, a gigantic radio syndicate, is now iHeartMedia. They basically own every single major radio station you're aware of. So they get to decide. They have so much power. They basically get to decide what songs go on the radio or not. So after 9/11, they made a list of songs that they did not want played on their stations anymore because of like a word association or like a theme. So of course this song went on that list, and that is largely why this song is the least successful of the three lead singles from this album.
Because
it's like not officially banned. Like they've said, Clear Channel has said like, no, you're not, we can't like ban you from playing it. They don't want that bad PR, but definitely like they would not be psyched if you played it. So what like VJ is going to put themselves out there. I wanted to know what else was on that list.
Yeah.
It is available. You can look, but I was shocked. I thought it was going to be like metal songs, you know, or like edgy songs.
Yeah.
Rocket Man and Benny and the Jets by Elton John.
Because of plane references?
References.
Oh my God.
And then Stairway to Heaven, just because I guess like people dying. Crash Into Me by Dave Matthews Band.
That's a tragedy. That in itself is a tragedy that got taken off the air.
You should talk to Jake Hurwitz. He loves that song. Kidding. Bridge Over Troubled Water?
I mean, yeah. Planes Over Troubled
Cities. I mean, I'm really... That's. Do you think you'd ever hear Bridge Over Troubled Water and be like, nope, too soon? I feel like it's such a giant reach. They were like, we cannot be too safe here. And then here's my favorite one. Fly by Sugar Ray.
Oh.
I just want to fly. Put your arms around me, baby.
Yeah.
Removed from the radio.
That makes sense.
What?
Fly.
Flying. You just couldn't say the word fly?
Yeah. Yep. It was a different time.
In hindsight, that seems truly batshit crazy to me.
No, you're flying. Flying is the whole thing.
Yeah, so this song only ended up peaking at 76.
Wow.
Toxicity and Aerials peaked higher than this.
Aerials is amazing, too.
It's honestly, this whole record's pretty good.
Yeah, this whole record's actually really good.
Okay, the last big note I have is that, have you heard about the riot?
No.
There was a riot involving this album. They tried to have, on September 3rd, 2001... they tried to have a little free concert in Hollywood in like a parking lot as like a thank you to their fans. They were like not a huge band. So they only allocated for like 3,500 people, which in itself is like a lot of people for like a little, you know, tiny little show.
Yeah.
An estimated 7,000 to 10,000 showed up. So the cops were like, yeah. No, we can't. This is really dangerous. We don't have any kind of clearance for this. So they canceled the show. They were like, we can't come on. No announcement was made that the concert had been canceled.
Oh, no.
What
this is in LA?
Fuck? Yeah. Like, what happened? They
where
just
did
didn't tell me.
10,000 people gathered somewhere in LA in the parking lot?
It says in Hollywood. I actually don't know where it was. That's a good question.
Crazy.
Maybe like the roof of the Arc Light. I don't know.
Yeah.
So the fans waited for more than an hour for them to show up. And then as people started breaking down the stage, they were like, wait, what? They're not coming? So they rushed the stage. They destroyed all of the band's touring gear.
Holy, why have you forsaken me?
$30,000 worth of equipment.
Oh my!
They just why'd they smashed. Leave
the, wow, that's crazy.
Threw rocks at the police, broke windows, and knocked over portable toilets. The riot lasted for 6 hours.
Wow!
I never heard about this.
That's crazy.
And they canceled their next day performance too. Maybe it was like Amoeba.
They had no stuff.
Right?
They're gonna play in like sticks and stones.
I mean, it is like the power of the down, you know?
Yeah, for sure. You don't mess with new metal fans.
Or old metal fans.
No. Or like present metal fans.
Is this like a Ghost of Christmas present, past, and future situation? Okay. The last note before I get to what the Patreon had to say about the song is from Malakian himself. He says, the song is about how we are regarded differently depending on how we die.
Okay, yeah. I'm not in the mood to get that deep, so that's cool.
I don't think you're gonna like these lyrics then, my man. This is all the song's about. He says, everyone deserves to die. Like if I were now to die from drug abuse, they might say I deserved it because I abused dangerous drugs. Hence the line, I cry when angels deserve to die. The lyric passage, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit, and why have you forsaken me, are a reference to Jesus's death on the cross. As according to the Gospels, it was one of the seven things Jesus said while dying.
This is Serge wrote these?
No, this is Darren Malakian. But uh-huh. Serge might have written the lyrics, but yeah. He's explaining, I guess, the meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, ready for this?
I love Serge.
This?
He really made the goatee.
Hot?
Hot. A hot kamad.
Dude, and his nose, I was watching the music video, perfect little nose.
Oh, yeah, but
Serge has a perfect little
just
nose.
Just a little button. Yeah.
Perfect. I was looking at it going, I wish my nose looked like that.
Yeah, I think he's had some work done.
Nuh-uh.
I'm just kidding.
It looks like God made it himself.
Give me the Serge. People go in there asking for the Serge. All the time.
This video, by the way, if you haven't seen it, is perfectly 2001. I highly suggest
it. Oh, yeah. They do the like, it looks like the iMac, like, Photoshop, early Photoshop, where they're going in and out of each other.
No, photo booth.
Photo booth, yeah.
Where you
yeah.
got to, like, be on a roller coaster.
Yeah, they're, like, going, they're, like, snakes, like, coming out of each other's bodies.
Anyway, okay. Patreon alerted me to, supposedly, I could not vet this is really her, but I don't know why they would lie to me, an Avril Lavigne cover of Chop Suey. I could only find a live performance. It's not very good quality. And to her credit, I'm pretty sure, I hope, this was just like an improvisation between songs. I don't think this was like planned or prepared. I think she was just like, oh, that kind of sounds like, let's go for it. You know what I mean?
Was this like at her peak?
I assume. Okay. I mean, if she was covering Chop Suey, haven't heard that song redone in a while, you know?
Yeah, okay. Or ever.
Let's just listen to it for a second. Mm-hmm. Wake up! We're doing the kitchen on the table! We're doing the
You wanted to. Did you say let's go get some za?
I think she said. It sounds like in Little Nemo. Remember that movie? And he's like,
Do I remember? No, I missed that one. Yeah, I remember.
He's trying to control the scepter, and he's like trying to remember the power, like the words to say. And he's like, "Yama pajama, pajama, pajama." It's a deep cut.
Yeah, it feels a lot like incoherent gibberish, I guess.
So that's the common thread, is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hear you.
She's not even trying, though.
No.
Like, she's just...
I think she's just having fun.
Yeah.
But I guess people, and unsurprisingly, I feel like any kind of woman in the rock space, like if you make one little mistake, it's like, oh, she's canceled. She done.
Yeah.
But like, I think that's not been something she's been able to live down very easily.
It's that
like,
cover?
Yeah. I mean, everyone
people remember
like,
it.
Oh, that video on YouTube has like 500,000 views, and it's not even a video. It's a picture with audio behind it. And the comments are all like, oh my God, she's so bad. And I'm like,
what?
Come on, you gotta know she was just fucking around, right? Last thing is from Patreon. A lot of great stories, but Julie Robidoux's story. I'm probably saying her name wrong.
That's Julia Roberts' burner account, I promise you.
Julia Robidoux. I have the same memory as a lot of people here. You were really cool if you knew the words to this song. All my friends were singing it, and I, as per usual, was the last one to know about cool stuff. This was before YouTube, so accessing it was pretty difficult. I said that verb really weird. Let me try that again. So accessing it was pretty difficult.
Okay.
I think I tried listening to the 30-second iTunes clip over and over.
Oh my God, it's like Michael Scott with James Blunt.
Goodbye, my lover. But it's so much funnier when it's this song. She's like, fuck, again. Again.
Yeah, that's, I never knew anything about the, other than the like halftime chorus.
No, you kind of just
bridge.
Go, you wanted to.
Yeah, you wanted to is really like the, that's where I felt like they were speaking to me.
And then when they actually start singing, you're like, okay, now there's some melody here. I can kind of pretend I know what was happening.
Yeah.
Are you ready to get into it?
Yeah. I haven't heard it in so long. Yeah,
go
for it.
Rolling Suicide.
Yeah, I love that. Like, this guitar is awesome. Like, I always wanted to learn this guitar when I was a kid.
And then in space. Just one note? Just one note.
Yeah, just one note. The drums are so amazing.
You know I love a Tom, man.
You do. You love George of the Jungle the most.
I'm gonna destroy everything!
Wake up! Oh
and
my God!
And that's the end of the show.
That was actually my alarm clock when I was a kid.
A lot of people said that on Patreon.
Yeah, it was.
You wake up to just the wake up, or the whole part before it?
No, when he says wake up. No, it was that whole thing started, and then when he said wake up, that was the end. I just got up.
That's like giving yourself blue balls every morning. I'm like waiting for the beat to drop that whole time, and then once the beat drops, I'm like, okay, now the singing. And then once the singing starts, I'm like, now the wanted to.
Yeah.
And then the wanted to, I'm like, now the actual singing.
Oh, dude, that's actually better than I even remember it.
It's like just that. Shreds.
It holds up so well.
Like, I know.
And it doesn't sound like anything now.
And every section has this amazing built-in suspense for the next section.
Totally.
There's no part of the song that you're like, I think I'm gonna turn this off now.
Oh, and every element is like the best of the best. Every single element is perfect sounding, the perfect part, like it comes in at the perfect time. Like,
I can't get over, I just wanna listen to the way that drum sounds.
The tone, oh yeah.
The tone of the drums.
Everything.
I have to stop it actually because I'll hurt myself headbanging to that.
I know. I'm going to actually break the mic.
I know. Marika, you should have taken all the equipment out of here, man, because we might pull a System of a Down riot.
Maybe just one mic in the middle, just Omni, and we can all just like go nuts.
Just mosh.
Yeah, just like go insane.
Marika, do you have any gloves? I would love to throw some punches, but I don't want to hurt anybody. It really makes me want to fight.
It makes me want to shoot guns.
Guns?
Is that bizarre? Like, I just want to like pow, 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 pow.
Into the air?
Yeah, into the air.
No, I want to shoot like a can.
Okay, I think I'm going to say a person.
Something about this song, I suddenly have the urge to murder.
I just feel bloodlust.
If I could describe it in a word, it'd be bloodlusty.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh God, I don't know, man. I don't know if I ever need to like do any kind of upper.
My heart rate is actually raised. When that whole thing was happening, like it started out, I was like, this is good. And then it was like, this is really good. And then it was like, I need to calm down. Like,
I'm having a heart attack. Yeah. Like next time I'm in line at a club, I'm talking about this as if I do this at all as an adult. Let me just pretend 10 years ago.
If you were to ever go to a club.
If I were to ever go to a club and then go to a line in a club and ever again be offered cocaine in said line, as I was, you know, in my younger days, I think I could say, no thanks. I'll have the same effect by listening to 10 seconds of System of a Down. Yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks, I have my AirPods.
AirPods.
They're bods, right?
10 years ago, we had AirPods. Remember when everyone was like, we're not quite to AirPods yet, but we do love the movie Air Bud. What's halfway in between? That was those commercials. We want your bod.
Oh, my God.
Air Bod.
Yeah.
It was an ad for ghosts. let's just go into the next clip on that.
Okay, are we going to try to figure out what he's saying?
I'll tell you. I figured I'd play this 10 seconds. Okay. And then I'll tell you everything he said.
I'm like,
we can go line by line.
No, no, no. Let's just see if we can pick it. I'm going to try really hard.
Okay, here, I'll go back a little bit.
Oh my God.
It feels sacrilegious to cut this song up into pieces.
It is so good. Leave your keys up on the table. That's the only part I really
Okay, so you knew that line. Could you get any of the rest of it? I think makeup.
Put on makeup. Yeah, of course. Yeah, put on makeup.
Grab a brush put a little makeup.
Okay, so he's cutting corners.
Yeah, I feel like you could have cut the and you could have said grab a brush, put on a little makeup.
Yeah, well, that meal. Come on, put on a little makeup. Like that sounds.
You don't want the accented syllable to be wrong.
I mean, it'd be hard. That'd be like tough to.
Grab a brush, put on a little makeup.
Put on a little makeup. Like,
I think it'd be just as easy.
It sounds a little too like sing-songy. Like put on a little makeup. Like
that, you know, is what he does though. He goes
put a little makeup.
Grab a brush and put a little makeup. He does do that.
Yeah, yeah.
There is tones in here.
I get why he did what he did.
We should do that. That's the punch up.
The punch up, yeah.
We'll do like a 5-part, no, what am I saying? A 50-part, episode 100. A 50-part a cappella arrangement.
La, 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 la.
Like tabernacle choir sang this song. Grab a brush and on a little makeup if you wanted to. We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see what we end up doing.
We'll see.
I'm excited to see. Hide your scars to fade away the shakeup.
I get it.
Hide your scars to fade away the shakeup. That's the creepiest part.
The whisper in the ear. I love it.
My ASMR is like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When that ASMR hits.
Oh my God.
You can't see it, but I'm throwing up.
Yeah.
It's scary. Then he says, why'd you leave the keys upon the table? Here you go. Create another fable.
Love it.
In terms of what he's actually saying, the best I can do, you tell me what you think. Maybe it's like the routines and accusations that are like hurtled against an addict. Do you see what I'm saying?
Oh, you're thinking addict, yeah.
I think maybe this is like an addiction song. That's the sense I get from what I've read about it and also just trying to analyze this. Like, hide your scars, put on the makeup, like pretend to be this more acceptable version of yourself.
Yeah.
And then maybe this part, why'd you leave the keys up on the table, is like someone trying to like get on him to like bust him or something when he's like doing his best.
Oh.
So it's like, why'd you leave the keys, like as if they're like thinking he's lying again.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's why the next line, here you go, create another fable. Like they're already not going to believe him no matter what he says.
Oh, I was thinking like, why do you leave your keys upon the table? Like, why do you go out into the world?
Wait, explain that. You're an actual artist. What does that mean?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I've just heard them one time. I was just thinking like, why do you keep doing this to yourself?
Oh, so it's like an internal monologue.
Yeah. Of like
that makes kind
covering
of
yourself up and like getting made up to go out and experience the ridicule or like the lack of acceptance or something.
Well, the makeup's a metaphor, right?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, of course.
Unless, I mean, I don't know, actually, the scary guy, what's his name? He wears a lot of makeup in that
they
video.
Do wear a lot of makeup. And then like, why do you leave your hotel? And you invite yourself to go outside by
did you speak
having
English?
Your keys out. No. Well, I'm trying modeling what he's doing.
Also what I do every episode.
And then he's like, then create another fable by like going out into the world. You're creating a fable of
the person you're pretending to be,
yeah, like the experience you're having aren't like genuine or whatever.
So if you came on every episode, we probably have a much easier time trying to understand these lyrics.
I mean, that's just, like, that could totally be. I mean, that's music.
No, that makes a lot of sense to me, though.
Create your own journey. That's how.
You just make that up? You should write that down.
I mean, that's how it feels. That's how it feels to me.
You know what it feels to me? Like it's time to take an ad break.
Let's go.
And we're back from an ad break. I love that you sent us off with "Let's go."
Let's get it.
Let's get it.
That's gone. That's not going on anymore, right? Like
no.
That's over.
No, Billie Eilish said in her Vanity Fair third year that that's over now.
Let's get it. It always reminded me of spaghetti.
Yeah, or how you used to say spaghetti as a child, Eschetti.
Eschetti, right? Yeah.
Okay, now we get into what I can only define as a pre-chorus. I'm not totally sure. Let's do it. Okay, so the verse just repeats.
Yeah,
the
he
same
does the verse again,
twice.
But with the "you wanted to's" and drums. It's cool. You can't fucking understand what he's saying anyway.
I understand. Okay, yeah, they added the "you wanted to's." Otherwise, it's the same.
Well, and the beat.
The beat was there.
No, because before it's going stop da 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 da.
You're right.
Yeah.
See, here's the problem with this song. If you try to break into segments, you instantly forget what just happened.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty crazy.
Okay, so then now is what I thought we were about to go to, which is...
The next section.
The next section. I guess this is the chorus then. Why don't think you trust?
Oh, yeah.
I love this harmony. Self-righteous suicide. Angels
deserve to die. I love that. Wait, so he's not saying angels deserve... Is he saying angels deserve to die?
He's saying I cry when angels deserve to die.
Right. So now understanding what you said about why he wrote that, when I was a kid, I was just like, yeah, they do deserve to die. Like, I thought he was just saying angels deserve to die.
You were just so desperate to be angry about something.
Yeah, I was like, fuck angels, man.
For too long, angels have been overrated by our whole society.
They've had it too good for too long.
I don't think you trust in my self-righteous suicide. I cry when angels deserve to die. Boof. I guess maybe. I'm probably so wrong. I don't think I ever got these lyric reads right. Probably every artist that's ever listened to me try to decipher the lyrics is like, shut the fuck up.
I mean, I think, like... that's like the whole point is like everyone interprets it however they want and all the answers are right.
I think inherently people think I must know what I'm talking about because I have a microphone.
Oh, right.
They give me way too much credit.
Well, I guess I don't.
Right. Yeah, no, because you're my brother.
Yeah.
So you're just like, you're a fucking idiot. I've known that for 30 years.
No, I'm just kidding.
But my best guess would be maybe he's saying like, I don't think you think I should be allowed to die however I want to die. Is that too deep of a read?
I don't know. Maybe not.
I should be allowed to die however I want. And why on earth would that change the way you think of me, how I die? I don't know. I'm probably looking into it too much.
Maybe that's right.
What else could it mean? I don't think you trusted my self-righteous suicide. He said like the general theme of the song is like...
My self-righteous... I don't know. It's hard to...
Or is he speaking as the how other people will speak about him if he dies from drugs?
Is he saying that some people like... actually are better off dead and like you need to trust them when they say that, like self-righteous meaning like
maybe that's the way people think. God, I feel so dumb trying to do this, but maybe it's that way people think about drug addicts, as if it's like self-righteous suicide to die from drugs.
Yeah, I mean, this is a heavy tune.
It's extremely heavy.
Yeah, this is
and
not
you would never guess from this light music.
Right, I know. This is not in the morning every morning Sugar Ray.
No
every morning there's a halo hanging.
What if that was the punch-up we did? It was just an atonal harmony the whole time.
What if the punch-up for this song was just us singing that song?
So we decided this song's too sad, yes. And as such, the punch-up is simply Every Morning by Sugar Ray.
But to this music. Every morning there's something over the middle. Hang it from the halo of your table.
What's the word? Shut the door, baby, don't say a word.
Shut the door, baby, don't say a word.
Shut the door, baby, don't say a word. Just that over and over and over again. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like an idiot trying to understand what he's talking about, so I think I'll stop trying. I just get the sense that it's very heavy and sad.
Yeah.
And maybe slightly tongue-in-cheek to be like, oh, well, you think I'm going to kill myself because I like drugs?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. You know what? No one's died from weed, you know what I'm saying?
You kidding me?
Okay, now we get into a section that I have, it's 7 seconds long, and I have labeled it simply Scream.
Like, that's the thing is, like, some people listen and they're like, yeah, but whenever I hear a scream like that, I'm just like, well, that sounds like a lot. Like, it's just like, it doesn't hit me in like the way of like, I don't feel powerful. I just feel like, whoa.
To me, it sounds hilarious.
Yeah, it sounds really funny.
Not even laughing at him, laughing with him. Listen to the way he screams. This is a joke.
I can guarantee I've never felt that way before.
The way he
felt when he screamed like that.
Well, because when you scream when you're actually angry, you don't go, wah! Like,
yeah.
Listen to this.
He sounds like a ghoul of some sort.
He sounds like he's hanging on. Imagine this. Oh man, we're just finishing up ADR for Jurassic World 5, but our fucking sound guy for the T-Rex just called out, Serge, can you hang on, roll on this.
That was actually great. You can go, man. You nailed
one
it.
One and done, Serge. Thank you. Like it's like it's like sounds like a bird.
Yeah, it sounds like a velociraptor or something.
Yeah, probably. I mean, to be fair, their tongues aren't fossilized, so they might have spoke with English.
Yeah.
Oh, good day to you, sir.
Yeah, maybe.
We don't know what they sounded like.
Good morning.
They could also just been like, like a T-Rex opens its giant mouth and it's like, hello. Hello.
Man, if we start talking about dinosaurs, this is going to really go, we should stop here because
right.
I have a lot of opinions.
You can't see at home, but Henry's eyes just got so big. I thought they were going to fall off his head. That's best part of the song, right?
No, I like my favorite part's coming up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Verse 2. Grandma should put a little makeup.
I just got the main away. Oh, he does the same shit.
Yeah.
I don't like that. You want it to. Grandma should put a little makeup. You want it to. I just got the main away in the
shake-up. You want it to. Why'd you leave the kids up on the table? You want it to. Well, I don't think you trust. All exactly the same.
That's not... That ain't it.
But you didn't notice until we listened to it.
Well, no, because you can't understand anyway.
What I'm saying is it didn't bother you until you pay attention, right? So it works. I stopped it there.
Yeah, it works only because you can't understand him. But on principle, I don't like it when people do use the same lyrics in the second verse.
Really?
Think of a new verse. Yeah, it's verse 2.
Well, what could he have said?
Well, that's for him to figure out.
Or us, because this is the podcast.
Well, maybe part of the punch-up is verse 2.
Continuing the morning routine.
Yes.
Curl your hair and put away the hairbrush.
Hey, don't spoil. Okay, so. Don't you spoil.
Wash your mouth with scratch.
Listerine will burn the fuck out of your mouth.
You wanted to.
Doesn't it hurt more than they said?
Gingivitis. Yeah. And the wanted to's are all just gingivitis. This is a song now for dentists to try to convince their patrons.
Underrepresented.
Floss.
Yeah.
Chorus 2 is a tiny bit different.
That sounded great for the people with misophonia.
You wanted to. People with misophonia are already hating this episode because of the way he sings.
Yeah.
Is that good?
That's pretty accurate.
Here we go, chorus 2. When angels deserve to die in my name. That's so beautiful. Self-righteous suicide. I cry when angels deserve to die. His voice.
Beautiful. It's like genuinely beautiful.
Operatic.
The harmonies are beautiful. Everything about it.
That one, can we revisit that one little run he just did?
That's like the Middle Eastern vibe they were talking about.
Okay, can you, assuming you can, kind of explain the no, you can't. He's shaking his head. I haven't finished my sentence.
Explain a vocal run?
No, just like when people are like, that sounds Middle Eastern.
Oh, it's just the scale that they're playing in.
Right.
There's different scales for that. And if you sing it.
But you need to imagine you're talking to someone that doesn't know anything about music. Can you give like a ballpark of what that means?
Just take the notes in a scale.
Mm-hmm.
And certain scales have a different quality that make it sound sad or happy. A minor key, major key, you know, like there's tons of different scales.
So what scale is that we are all like Middle Eastern?
The harmonic minor scale can sometimes sound a little...
And that's where you have a different seventh on the way down than you do on the way up, right?
There's several different notes.
Sixth, seventh.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just different. It's nothing complicated. It's just different scales. He's singing. Sound
it's
different.
Nothing complicated if you know anything about music. Yeah, you're right. It's really easy for me too, just so you know.
Yeah.
Now we get to a whole new section of the song. I'm naming this the bridge, but it never really returns to the structure we just had. It kind of went A, B, A, B, and now it's going to go C, D, and it's over.
Yeah.
Do you hear that background vocal?
Yeah, the call and response. The response is actually
demonic.
Terrifying.
Demonic.
But it's cool sounding. It's just like, really spooky.
I want to listen to that background vocal one more time because I can't tell if that's actually a voice doing that or if there's like some crazy scary effect on it.
That's a guy singing.
It's just a guy singing?
For sure.
Okay, I want to hear it again. Oh my God.
He's just like blood-curdling screaming.
That last one is so scary.
Yeah, it's the spookiest thing I've ever heard.
So he's just actually screaming at the top of his lungs.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's the guy with all the tattoos slash drawings.
It actually is.
Yeah, it's just because you can feel it.
Darren Malakian.
Yeah.
That. They're like, just saying father, 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 father. That's all they said.
They're begging to the father.
Well, this is the part where they quote Jesus.
Why have you forsaken me?
Well, the first part, into your hands I commend my spirit.
Oh.
So this is supposedly what Jesus actually said on the cross.
Uh-huh.
And they're singing it like this.
I'm very bad at Jesus stuff.
Well, we both grew up secular as fuck. Mm-hmm. Anytime someone's like, oh, that's a passage. I'm like, to where?
My first music class I was ever in, I was 16 or something. And my teacher was like, well, this is a hymn. And I was like, who's him? And she was like, no, a him. And I was like,
him who?
I was like, nah, what's that?
Why is it not a her?
Yeah. Actually, I think I was like 18. I was old. And she was like, you don't know. She like grew up in like the South. And she was like, what?
Yeah. No. When I went to like the baccalaureate, which was like the Christian community's like ceremony to like send off the graduating class. It was my first time ever even being inside a church.
Yeah.
And they had like a musical performance at the beginning, like someone up and like played guitar and sang. And then, of course, when they finished, I stood up and clapped. Every single person in the church gave me the meanest look they could. And I quietly sat back down and no one else clapped.
Oh, my God.
How was I supposed to know you don't clap in church?
I know. Tell me about it.
Okay, now we get into the really melodic part of the bridge, following the Father, which, by the way, my dad is in the other room right now, so if we keep screaming this, he might come in here.
Run in here going, what's wrong?
I mean, we could get a cameo from Papa Bredo. He is a podcast fave. And my mom and my dog. We've got all four of us on here. We're just missing my sister.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Melodic bridge.
That's the best right there.
Oh, the way those drums just pound back in there.
The chord change there is so pretty. I love when they do the way that they have like the double time crazy verses and a halftime chorus. Like there's really not a lot of songs who have ever made that work. Like it's really cool. It's because it usually sounds so slow and like dragging, especially for a chorus. It's like the anti-chorus. So I love it.
I think it works because the verses are so fast.
They're
that
so crazy.
You're craving a release.
Absolutely.
So when it hits, you're just like, oh, finally.
And it's like
I can
lush and full of harmonies and like it's not just like
and the
a slow
melody
chorus.
Here. I mean, all of the melodies, like the way that it's interacting with the guitar the whole time, it's almost like there's two singing.
Oh yeah, the lead guitar player is
singing,
destroying on this song.
Having
like the jangly acoustic under the whole thing adds so much texture. I just like dig the whole thing.
Rick Rubin,
oh, he's a maniac.
Come on, the pod.
The drum sound too, like the snare sound on this song is like.
I almost asked you, is this metal sticks?
It's like no, absolutely not. It's like the coolest, like crackiest, like thickest, badassest drum.
And
sound.
Also like so clean.
Yeah,
it just is like.
There's no ringing. It's just like fucking the tone
bright.
Is pretty fun.
It's beautiful. You know what it reminds me of? Fleetwood Mac.
Not me.
You know what it really reminds me of? Dreams by Fleetwood Mac.
More like Nightmares by Fleetwood Mac.
Dog, did you just make that up?
Yeah, that was just me.
Bro,
yeah.
Your podcast natch.
Yeah, thanks.
I want to listen to this from the top one more time just because it was so beautiful the way that just transitioned. And also, I love the melody change here between the first section and the second section. Father into your hands, I commend my spirit. Father into your hands, why have you forsaken me? In your eyes, forsaken me. In your thoughts, forsaken me. In your heart, forsaken me. I love that. I'm blown away by how many vocal stylings he's using in the same line.
Yeah.
He starts that line with like the hardiest growl. In your eyes forsaken me. And then he gets like really yodely.
Yeah.
By the end of it.
Yeah. It's interesting because he's saying, why have you forsaken me? And
yeah,
he's like talking to God. But when I was like 10,
no.
I would.
Dad didn't let me get string cheese.
Yeah. Whenever dad would like not let me get a milkshake at dinner, I'd like listen to this and just like in the car ride home be like, that motherfucker forsaken me. Like, I would really.
And meanwhile, he's like, yeah, God made his son die. That was his entire purpose in life.
I mean, in that moment, dad made me die.
Trust in my Wait, I need to hear that again. The got so high.
The harmonies on this second part are, I remember them so vividly being like, that is so sick.
It's really unusual.
Self-righteous suicide. Like, it's pretty fun. It sounds like pop music. Like,
yeah, and the fact that they, like, I think there's usually such bravado in metal, or at least my understanding of metal, that's like, oh, we don't do that shit.
Like, yeah, the harmonies are...
But they went for it.
Yeah, it's making it feel like a totally... Because they're not, like, spooky harmonies. They're singing, like, pop harmonies. Like, yeah.
If the instruments were different on this song, I think you'd be able to realize, like, this is actually a stunning song.
I think a lot of people already did realize that. Especially this
arrangement. The general public?
I mean, for me, like, as a kid, it was like, yeah, it was hardcore or whatever, but, like, I remember just being, like, I remember, like, having, like, emotional moments listening and being like, yeah, man, this is beautiful, you know?
It really is. And then also, like, I think anytime there's some kind of, like, God or Jesus imagery, it suddenly adds, like, a gravitas.
I used to like to, like, fantasize, like, yeah, Jesus. Like, I didn't know anything about Jesus, but yeah. I was like, man, yeah, he really is a good dude.
He really did something.
Yeah, like, I knew something. I knew something. There was, like, gravitas up to him. Is that an understatement? I mean, an overstatement?
You understood that there was an importance around the character.
I remember knowing Jesus, there's something to that Jesus guy. Like, okay, people really like him.
I know we're really going off on one here, but like, who else could I talk to about this? Someone that had the shared experience with me growing up. I had two things that were me realizing the same thing as like a very secular person. Just being like, I hear a lot about this Jesus guy, huh?
Yeah.
I knew he was like a figure that everyone cared a lot about. And so my first thing was when I was like 7 or 8, I would start carving or writing, like graffitiing into like a nightstand or like a public bathroom. Jesus was here.
W-U-Z?
No, like Jesus as in Jesus Christ.
No, but was.
Oh, right. I was like, G was? That's not how you spell it.
W-U-Z or W-A-S?
I actually, in my mind, inverted. I thought you said G-E-S-U-Z. I was like, Jesus? No, it was a W-A-S. I just learned how to write.
I
was like 8. I just learned words. I wasn't about to fuck around with fun spellings.
Wow, I'm surprised you were able to get the carving at that age.
I carved into mom's like beautiful wooden desk side lamp. Jesus was here.
That's why mom was born again, actually, for a couple of years.
Because I was like, someone someday is going to find this and be like, holy shit, an artifact.
I think you just described religion.
Well, let's bleep that for the butt. And then the other thing was Minnie coming home from school, my older sister, at like 10, when I was probably also about 8. A lot of God stuff coming in hot when I was like 8 years old. And she was like, I know something you don't know. And I was like, well, bitch, you got to tell me. And she was like, I know what God is. And I was like, okay, well, you got to tell me. She was like, he made everything. And I grabbed my Casio keyboard and I was like, he made this? She was like, yes, he did. And I was like, this says made in China. And she was like, well, then I guess he's Chinese. And I was like,
well, that's all just right. A fact.
That's cool.
That's a fact. God is Chinese.
I mean, God's a woman for sure. We know that.
Totally. That's a Chinese
fact.
Woman.
Yeah, you can fact check that.
We're going to get in trouble.
Marissa, if you could go ahead and bleep that whole section.
If you could just like save your letters, I'm sorry. Let me just say it now. I don't know who I'm offending, but I'm really sorry.
Point is, we knew it meant something. We just didn't know what. And then this song came in hot. And we were like, yeah, that's what.
Yeah.
Anyway, play that section one more time. Trust in my self-righteous suicide.
I never heard that, like, that really cool part, that, like, tack piano thing on the left side is so cool in that section. I never noticed that before.
Can I play one more part so I can hear that again? I was listening to the vocals.
It's, like, a really, like, syncopated, cool, like, tack piano
bling,
part.
Bling, bling, bling.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I want to hear that one more time. Oh, yeah. Self-righteous. Oh, you meant those descending chords, not the arpeggio thing.
It's both. It's like all that shit in the left with just like that crazy piano is so cool.
I wish I had the stems for this. I want to hear that one more time. That's a sitar, I think.
Could be.
I think that's a plucked sitar.
Yeah, it's buried, but yeah, it's really cool.
God, that's cool. And then it ends on that last. Can we hear that last chord again?
It sounds like either like a harpsichord or like a tack piano to me.
There are strings in there.
Yeah.
You hear that?
It sounds like there's like a synth
violin
too.
Or yeah. Something.
Like a low synth.
Fuck, man. That song is a journey.
That's like the most like masterfully produced song. Like,
I would agree with you.
It's like really insane.
I think next time someone asks me, like, what do you think is the best production on a song? I might reference Chop Suey.
It'd just be really hard. Like, if a band is like I work with bands at the studio, and like, if they were like, so our band is sitar, banjo, we like acoustic guitar, electric guitar, we like to do like...
We scream the word die.
Yeah, we like do screamo, but also we sing really pretty harm. I'd just be like, this is a lot of information. Like,
you can't.
How do you make this all one song and really cohesive? And like...
That's the thing I think a lot of people like that maybe aren't familiar with production think like, oh yeah, just like more. Like more makes it easier. But in a lot of ways, it's like, well, if you had like a coloring book and maybe there were like no lines defined and you had three colors... Figuring out what color is supposed to be what is a lot easier with three colors than like 16 colors.
Totally.
It can get really overworked.
And making space in, you know, like two speakers with for all of that shit, like to be able to hear it
sonically
all.
Making the space.
Yeah, like that's a feat.
I want to see Blown Away. This is one that I would absolutely love to get the stems on. Imagine hearing every little layer of this.
Yeah, it would be amazing.
Dog. Well.
We're going to make it better. For the record.
Well, now we have to.
For the record, we're going to make it better.
And this is episode 100,
Thing would be, yeah, verse two.
Just repeating?
Whenever people do that, I'm just like, why? You write another verse. Like, that's the whole point of a song.
I think when you write a verse, I mean, I will say, I think that the lyrics to the verses on the first verse anyway are like so perfectly, like a sound-wise. Exactly correct.
The rhythm is, yeah. It would be really hard to
and
fit
also, like, this,
words
the,
into that rhythm.
I mean, even if you did, like, the sound of each word, grab a brush and put a little makeup,
yeah, right.
Hide the scars to fade away the shakeup, like, the assonance, the consonants, like, all of it is so perfect that I kind of don't blame them for being like, we can't hit it again.
We nailed it. Let's not fuck with it. But
we could.
If they did, it would have been like, wow, kudos.
And I think we could continue on with the morning routine.
I think the story needs to continue.
And then just hard cut to Jesus stuff. Do we change all of it? I guess we'll figure that out. My question also, do you think that we might be onto something with wanting to showcase just how beautiful this song is?
Absolutely.
Like, because the point of the masterful production, there's no way we could emulate that production. That's Black Diamond level engineering production. There's no way. There's no way.
Absolutely not.
So the only way is really to strip shit away and be like, here's what's underneath all of that.
Yeah.
Find a way to make it like the most palatable and accessible, and in a way, maybe even like reinvent it to see like, hey,
I mean, the only problem is like if you make that too like acoustic-y like stripped, it starts to sound like Christian rock or something.
Oh, yeah. Because we're singing about Jesus.
Because you're singing about Jesus.
Oh, yeah. I guess if you sing about Jesus and you're not actually shrieking, it does read that way.
It reads like at my, you know, youth group.
Baccalaureate.
But yeah, pulling out the acoustic guitar like at the campfire. And like,
yeah, if you're like, Father, into my hands I commend my spirit.
Exactly.
Why have you forsaken me? Also,
like
we really
Morissette.
Blew past the way he sings Forsaken. It's so Alanis Morissette.
Yeah.
Why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? Wow. Okay. I think we got our work cut out for this. Are we doing this together or are you doing this by yourself?
Together.
Okay. We have to. Full circle on the 100th episode.
100th ep.
100th together. Ep together.
Together forever.
Forever.
Until we die. One of us dies. Probably you.
I'll die first.
Yeah.
I'm reckless.
I'm younger and you're more feeble.
With that said, should we get to Unpunchable Jams?
Let's get it. You can't punch this.
Okay. You go. What's your Unpunchable Jam?
Unpunchables. Right. Well, are we going to talk about the thing we've been doing together? For
when should we announce it? Let's announce it after.
Okay,
Let's have it be the way we send off the show, with a big announcement.
Well, Unpunchables.
Ooh, now I got goosebumps. I forgot we were doing that. ooh, I'm excited to talk about it.
It's my favorite show.
Ooh, bump, 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 bump. That's my Unpunchable Jam. It's your turn.
The theme from Goosebumps. Gosh, there's so many.
Henry, by the way, I should say while you're here about you, not to you, don't look at me. I'm talking to people invisibly through the microphone now.
Cool.
Probably at least half my Unpunchable Jams have been songs Henry showed me. Henry's got the best taste in music of anyone I have ever met. If you give me credit for cool songs, 1 in 10 times actually give me that credit.
I mean, I feel like I'm drawing a blank of like what I want. It's so much pressure of like
picking, I can go first.
Picking the one. And I'll do Indian Summer by Rice Boy Sleeps.
Henry! Sleeps. You don't see Alex.
The album's Rice Boy Sleeps, which is like one of my favorite albums ever.
You're proving my point.
Did you already do something off that?
No.
Okay.
I have just talked about that album as a whole many times.
Yeah, Indian Summer Atlas song. But you have to listen to both together. But I'll choose Indian Summer. But together, like, they feed into each other in the way that
I almost feel like with that record, you listen to the whole thing or you don't listen to it at all.
I mean, we just saw the whole thing played all the way through live.
You watched it live?
Yeah, with an orchestra.
You guys, if you don't know what Rice Boy Sleeps is, it's Yonzi, who's the lead singer from Sigur Rós. I can never say it right.
That's great.
Sigur Rós.
A couple more times.
Sugar Ray. And his boyfriend, right?
I think partner. Yeah, I think they're like...
Creative partner or romantic partner?
Romantic and creative.
So life partner in every facet.
They're just like... Yeah.
Partners.
They're beings together.
They make this beautiful, predominantly instrumental album. But Alex also made... Alex Summers, his last name. He made the score for Captain Fantastic, which is also stunning.
He's incredibly talented too.
It's just like the absolute best music if you ever want to have a thoughtful bath.
Or die. Not like kill yourself, but like if you're at the end of your life.
That's what you listen to.
Throw it on.
While you
just like go into the darkness or the light. I don't know.
Or when you cry.
I'm not claiming to know any answers.
For my Unpunchable Jam, again, just doing what I'm listening to right now. I have a feeling by the time this comes out, this song will be a big hit. It's definitely fast tracking it, I think. It's So Hot, You're Hurting My Feelings by Caroline. I forgot to look up her last name. Polacek. Can count on the day, but it's been 25. You're up there killing the game, but devil miss you tonight. And if there's something I need after getting so amped up to toxicity in like a way that makes me want to kill someone, I need something that gets me so amped up in a way that makes me want to do my makeup.
Yeah.
And curl my hair.
Me too.
You too?
Well, you do your makeup.
Put away the 770! Henry, is it time to make our announcement?
Yeah.
I don't know how to talk about it. You say it.
You say it?
You say it.
You'll say it. What, you know, and I've worked on the last couple months. I've been working on an 8-song little music project. That's all.
We made a record. We made a record. It is not a joke.
We just whipped together a little something.
I wouldn't say we whipped it together. It's been a lot of work.
You always make it seem like we did it in a day.
You're right. So just real quick, you know, came out.
Yeah.
We made a record.
Look, we made a thing.
So we did a
That's
thing.
So gross.
And it's not bangs. It's an 8-song full-length record. And it's going to come out soon. And I'm very scared and excited. And if we work, I don't know if I've ever worked so hard on anything in my life. I think that's probably true.
It's a real showcase of Miel's inner.
Yeah, if you ever listen to this podcast and you're like, yeah, I'd love it if she wasn't funny. Let's just hear the rest of that. You will love
the
album.
It's the real, real stuff.
Yeah. I'm really excited, man.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun.
I think we work really well together. If you can't tell from this podcast you just listened to.
I mean, I actually can't tell. This could be a disaster for all I know. First podcast.
Henry, you were so good. You're a natch, dude.
The natch?
Marika. See?
She just did a big thumbs down and then threw up.
Is there anything you want to shout out? I mean, obviously Henry Bardot, which is your solo stuff, and it's fucking stunning. And then your duo with Marie, Parallel, which is also stunning.
Yeah, we'll be just
stunning.
Like, you know, the website, henrybardot.com, always putting up, you know, new music when it comes out.
Are you going to play any shows soon, 2020?
Yeah, we have a couple little things lined up.
We might
play shows too. Marie and I are sort of like stopping Parallel shows for a while and like doing more solo stuff.
So what you're saying is we might do a little tiny tour of our album.
Maybe.
We'll see.
We'll see how it goes.
2020.
We'll see if
it's 2020 now.
Who listens to your podcast likes it.
You guys let me know. Fucking let me know. I need the validation. Thank you so much, Henry, for coming on in New York of all places.
NYC.
You're my hero.
The Big Apple.
Henry?
People hate that when they say that, right?
I call it the Big Tuna.
That was just a big troll. I'm sorry, everyone.
That's what I call New York. Big troll. I'm going to say something. Are you ready? Look me in the eyes. I love you.
I love you too.
This is Punch Up the Jam. My name is Miel. If you want to follow us, Punch Up the Jam, Patreon, anything, whatever. And now I think we should send it off to God, whatever the fuck we did for this, for our 100th episode. 100 episodes. Thank you so much for listening this long. And I look forward to 100 more.
Yep.
If I don't die first.
You won't.
Okay. Okay, bye.
Love you. Love everyone. Bye-bye.
And now the world premiere of Chop Suey, but it's beautiful.
The sad, the emo version.
We didn't talk about that in the episode.
No, you're right.
Was a HeadGum podcast.